Welcome to Investing Alpha, a podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Android Financial Service Private Limited. If you want to know more about us or invest with us, please visit androidfinancial.com. Android Financial is a SEBI registered portfolio manager.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. Stock discussed here are only for illustrations and should not be construed as investment advice. Employees and clients of Android Financial may have positions in the stocks mentioned in the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Alpha Investing. The topic of today's podcast is the review of India's Union Budget FY22. We are recording this on 2nd February evening, and yesterday in the Parliament on 1st February, the Honorable Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman presented the Union Budget. Now to give opinion on the budget, we would say that this was a very brave budget. Just to give you the same analogy which the finance minister also gave while starting his budget speech, she played brave like Pujara. She took all the COVID-19 blows on the chin and refused to yield to any of the fiscal pressures which were there all through the year. She also refused to indulge in allurements of raising resources through additional taxations. So there were hardly any taxation changes. So in that sense, this budget was a continuation of various measures which were announced during 2020 after the corona lockdown happened, to basically support the economy. Apart from that, the recognition of the need of the new economy, the e-commerce workers, the gig workers, the startups, the e-learning, new education techniques, etc., those are very pragmatic steps in the budget. And apart from that, a process which has been started about 1.5 years ago, that to let go of the control of strategic PSUs, that is also a sign of pragmatism and going ahead with the times, staying relevant with the times. And this is probably the only budget in independent India that does not propose to make any significant changes in the income tax structure. But the issue here is, apart from the intent, is how this is going to be executed. So just like Rishabh Pant, who went to Australia with a very poor record of recent execution, the performance of these executing organs like administrative ministries, various departments, state governments, that is questionable. And in the execution of this government in the recent past, that has not been very encouraging. So one can hope that the execution will improve materially in the next 12 to 15 months. And hopefully the virus is also behind us and all the vaccination happens in the next 6 months. And in Indian economy shall emerge as a winner. So stock markets have been celebrating this in the past 2 years. We had a 7% fall in the last week. And from this week, we almost covered the whole fall. So everything has happened quite fast in the past 2-3 sessions itself. So this is despite all the warnings by RBI governor and the CEA in the economic survey that stock markets appear to be disconnected from the real economy. But markets have their own pace of working, and we need to flow with that pace while we are evaluating all our portfolio companies. So now we will discuss some of the key features of this budget. One small caveat here, I'm not going to discuss each and every point. I will discuss the important and the relevant points which are important from my investment strategy point of view, and also from the clients where we do the financial advising or the financial planning. So let's start with the various income tax updates. So as I said before also, there were no changes in the, either in the tax structure or additional taxations. There was a possibility of a COVID cess that did not came through. There was a possibility that the highest brackets will be even taxed further. That also did not come through. Again, the two slab structure which was introduced in the last budget, that also did not come through. But there were some few minor income tax updates which were there. One of them was that senior citizens aged 75 years and above, they don't need to file income tax if their income tax income is basically coming from the pension or the interest. You know, so if your money is coming from NPS or your money is coming from the FDs, then you don't need to file an income tax. However, your paying bank will deduct TDS on the income before transferring it to you. So apart from this, there were other few points, like the taxpayers who carry out at least 95% digital transactions. So the limit for the tax audit, that has been increased to 10 crores. So in the last budget, 2020 budget, it was increased from 1 crore to 5 crore, and in this budget it has been increased from 5 crore to 10 crore. So basically we have gone from 1 crore to 10 crore in one year, and which is a good thing. You don't need to, you know, pay for the audit fees. Then there were certain extensions, like the eligibility of deduction of for interest on your home loans for affordable housing, that has been extended by 1 year till 31st March 2022. That comes under the Section 80EEA, under which you can claim deduction for 1.5 lakhs for a home loan sanction. So again, that has been extended. Then there was a instruction made that you will get a pre-filled ITR where you will have all the capital gains from listed securities, your dividend income, your interest income from banks, post office, etc. All that will be pre-filled in the ITR. So that's a good thing, but we need to see, you know, how much it is actually implemented, because going by the past experiences, we see a lot of errors in while these fields are auto-populated. It generally takes at least a couple of years or a couple of return sessions to, you know, get it right. But overall, from a long-term point of view, it's good. You don't need to fill in each and every detail, and that can be, you know, populated from the from your back records. There was one relaxation for the NRIs. So in the budget, the finance minister proposed to introduce new rules to remove the double taxation for NRI Indians who have accrued incomes in foreign countries. So that would that new rule will focus on provisions of foreign income. So your DTAA relief and the tax credits under Section 90, 90A, 91, all that double taxation will go through and will not be happening now. Then as far as the e-assessments were concerned, you know, earlier any officer can reopen the assessment up to 66 years. That has now been reduced to 3 years. Then the faceless assessment, that has also got a boost, because under the ITAT, which is the Income Tax Appellate Tribunal, that has also become now faceless. So some minor consolidations which is happening. Another key takeaway was that a lot of employers, they were deducting employees' contribution towards provident funds or the superannuation funds, social security funds, but they were not depositing within the times. So now government has said that, okay, if you are deducting it from the employees and but you are not yourself depositing this, then that will not be allowed as a deduction for the employer. So that's a sort of a negative for the employer. And apart from that, the exemption for capital gains in startups, that has also increased by 1 year. It was increased till 31st March 2021. That has been increased till 31st March 2022 now. But I think the most important tax was with respect to the relief for dividend income. This was actually introduced in 2019, and this was sort of an anomaly which was happening, and that was very perturbing for the highest tax bracket and for the FIs. That after the abolishment of this DDT, dividend distribution tax, the dividend which was earlier exempt, now that becomes a taxable income. But what happened in the last budget, 2020, that the TDS under section 194 and 194K, that was introduced for reduction of TDS on dividend paid on equity shares and mutual funds. Now with this budget, that has been now removed. And also the dividend paid on REITs and the InvITs, that is also now exempted from TDS. So, that really makes FIs very bullish on India. You'll see a lot of sovereign funds and pension funds investing in these REITs and InvITs. And the good thing is that the advanced tax liability would arise on dividend income only once the dividend is declared or paid. Since it is very difficult for the shareholders to estimate the dividend income accurately. So the advanced tax liability, that is also, less now as compared to previous. Okay. So the second topic is the announcements which were made for the Indian banking sector in the Union Budget. So one of the key announcements were the stressed asset resolution by setting up a ARC asset reconstruction company and an AMC asset management company. So as we know that there is a very high quantum of stressed assets, and the provisioning cost of PSU banks are going up because of that, and especially because of lockdown and corona, that has gone up really high. So what government has done is they have announced a setting up of an ARC and an AMC to consolidate and take over the existing stressed debt and then manage and try and dispose these assets to an AIF, AIF2, and other potential investors for eventual value realizations. Now the details are very sketchy in this, so I think it's a step in the right direction, but that we need to see the details, how much it is implemented, because in the past also we have these kind of SPVs made to create a bad bank out of it. That has not met with any material success. So we need to see how much this is beneficial to the banks, and especially the PSU banks. There is a line of thought that this bad bank creation would have got more benefits to PSU banks had it been done 3-5 years ago. But nevertheless, if this happens, then it is pertinent to note that the PSU banks will make hefty gains from transferring of these bad assets to the ARC or the AMCs. And hopefully the recovery values will be much more greater than the current net book value of these assets. My sense is currently, most of the PSU banks, they hold the PCR greater than 60% on these stressed assets. I'm talking pre-COVID era. So the transfer value will to these ARCs and AMC, that will happen, unlikely to happen at a premium to the book value. So again, it will depend, how the swift recovery is there, how much the realization of the assets is happening under the new structure. But if this happens, then PSU banks may get re-rated again. Because, if the bad assets goes away, then automatically, the management will have more bandwidth concentrating on the main business than focusing on the recovery of these stress assets. Again, that could expedite a lot of other processes of selling non-core assets or selling non-core businesses. And there will be far more transparency happening, across the PSU banks. boards, etc. Now, apart from this ARC and AMC, there was also a possibility of a privatization of two PSU banks, which they are going to announce in the next 2 months. And again, the details are not given, but my sense is that the most likely candidates will be from the remaining banks which were not part of the consolidation in the past couple of years. So we have seen Bank of Baroda merging Vijaya Bank, we have, and Dena Bank, and we have also seen a lot of other mergers involving Punjab National Bank, Union Bank, Indian Bank, etc. So my sense is they will not touch those because they are already undergoing the consolidation phase, because they were merged from 1st February 2020, 1st April 2020. So my sense is they will not touch these banks. So the banks which may get privatized, they would probably come out of the banks which are remaining on standalone, like Bank of India, Central Bank, Indian Overseas Bank, Bank of Maharashtra, UCO Bank, etc. Now, these are very small banks as standalone. So I'm not sure how much they are going to provide revenue to the government. But I think one should see this as a first step in many of the following steps where the PSUs will be privatized. So if it is done correctly, then that would probably act as a test case for privatization of other PSU banks or even other PSUs in the future. Apart from that, there was also an announcement of 20,000 crores recap for the PSU banks. I'm not sure that money is sufficient, but they've announced it in any case. My sense is they're probably hoping that the market rally would make the stock prices go up, so companies can raise more money from the market itself. Apart from that, they will also have to give less money for each of the banks. Apart from that, there was one more suggestion of privatizing the one of the general insurance companies. So you have got three general insurance companies: National Insurance, Oriental, and United Insurance. So one of them they are proposing to privatize in the next financial year. Apart from that, there were a couple more in for the banking sector, like development of a world-class fintech hub at the Gift City. There was some sort of steps taken for liquidity in the corporate bond market, but those are more like fillers in the whole scheme of things. The third part of this podcast will be on the consumer-facing sector. So there was no big bang announcement as such, but there were a couple of things which were noteworthy. Firstly, the no news is always very good news for as far as the cigarettes taxation is concerned. And last year there was an unexpected steep tax hike, which was written somewhere in the fine print of the budget, and it was not announced during the budget presentation. So that came as a surprise for a stock like ITC. But this year the government has decided to give it a pass, and my sense is that the current cess collection which is there, that seems to be sufficient to meet the cess receipts which are budgeted for this year. So this is probably intention is that to keep the GST cess rate unchanged and allow businesses to drive volumes higher, bring more cess flows to the government kitty, and not unnecessarily do taxation just to for the sake of it. So that was a very, very good thing for ITC. From a cigarettes industry point of view, it sort of gives you a tax stability perspective that okay, there is going to be no hike in the next 1 year. But I think another point which was probably missed by a lot of media was that the finance bill now has disallowed depreciation on goodwill for the purpose of computing taxation. So what happened is that if you remember last year, there were a couple of big mergers. One was the merger of HUL with GlaxoSmithKline, and another one was where the Tata Chemicals consumer product business was merged with the Tata Consumer. So in both of these, there was a lot of goodwill which was recognized as a part of the P&L, which was there for the merger. So for example, in HUL, the total merger was about 17,000 crores, out of which the goodwill was given as around 4,400 crores. Similarly, for Tata Consumer merger, the amount was about 3,500 crores, out of which the 900 crores were given as a goodwill. Now, what they have done is, they, from this budget, they have said that you cannot claim this under the income tax, new income tax laws, and they have disallowed this depreciation of the goodwill going forward from 1st of April. So this is not applicable for HUL or Tata Chemicals, Tata Consumer, Wala merger. This is not for this current financial year, FY21. This will be applicable from 1st April 2022, 1st April 2021. What will happen is, going forward, whenever these kind of mergers are happening, so the people who are doing these M&As, they need to recalibrate the earning multiples. So it's a, I think it's more of a, you know, financial model kind of a stuff which you need to understand. But this is a small point which I thought not many people have noticed, apart from the people who make financial models. Then there were a couple of small changes. The custom duties on gold imports were reduced by 2.5% from 12.5% to 10%. Again, I don't think this will have any major impact. Probably some sort of inventory losses for jewelers in the near term. But the overall impact, I don't think it will be too material. Then there was an import duty hike on the crude palm oil from 27.5% to 32.5%, so 5% increase there. But again, I don't think crude palm oil, which is used in soap manufacturing, they can have another cheaper alternatives for that. And I don't think that is going to be much of a issue for the manufacturing. The fourth part of this podcast will be with respect to the insurance companies. So there were three major announcements as far as the insurance sector is concerned. One of them was discussed before also, but now passed, that they are raising the FDI limit from 49% to 74%. Now, the interesting part is that currently the FI limits in all these insurance companies is about 32 to 35% if you consider all the listed listed life insurance players like ICICI Prudential, you have got HDFC Life, you have got Max Life, you have got SBI Life. All of them have got like roughly 32 to 35%. So they're already less, but the reason for that is when you have the 49%, you cannot have the majority stake. But now, because when the limit has been increased from 49 to 74%, you will see much more FI interest in these companies. And given that, it's a very capital intensive nature of this industry, the life insurance business, they need the capital to grow. Because the long-term structural story of insurance is very good in India. There is low penetration, there is income levels are increasing, the demographics are favorable, there is an increase in urbanization, etc. So this bodes very well for the future growth, and opening up of this sector to more capital, that will be good from a long-term perspective. And not just the top players, even the smaller players, there is a possibility that more capital can come in and they can compete better. In fact, the top players may actually not require so much of capital immediately, because they all have very you know, good solvency ratios. I think all the top players, they have like 200% plus solvency ratios. So they may not require, but you know, at when they grow in size, they would probably require extra capital. So this gives them an option to get that capital in. The second announcement for insurance was a LIC IPO. Again, that was announced last year also, but because of Corona, nothing happened. But now they have very keen on completing the divestment, and they have already appointed Milliman as an organization to calculate the embedded values EVs for LIC. As far as the comments by the finance secretary is concerned, that is not going to happen in the first half. So probably in the second half of FY22, we are going to see this IPO. I've already written about it. You know, there are a lot of changes in the LIC Act to make this happen. The good thing is that they are passing these changes in this budget session itself. So if these changes in the LIC Act is made, then it becomes relatively easier for you know, the merchant bankers to value it and put it across investors. Third point was with respect to what happened with the ULIPs. So this was an anomaly which was there since 2 years when the long-term capital gain was introduced. Then they said that the ULIP will have a different taxation structure and the 10% long-term capital gain will not be applicable to them. Now that anomaly has been removed this year, and this budget has announced that the taxation on these ULIPs, on proceeds from these ULIPs, anything above 2.5 lakhs, that you will have to pay capital gains similar to mutual funds, and you have to pay STT as well. So previously, you know, where premium payment in a policy year that is going to be less than 10% of the sum assured, they were exempted from tax. Now, this would probably impact companies where the ULIP premiums are very high. So, for example, ICICI Prudential, that has got like 55% of the mix of ULIP policies. So, it could probably impact them in the very short run. But that is the good thing is that this was one of the anomaly which is now, you know, removed from the budget. So that's it. These were the four sections where I wanted to discuss: insurance, consumer, banking, and the taxation part. There is a lot of jargon as far as the fiscal is concerned, and there it's very heavily debated what should be the right capex, what should be the right expenditure, etc. But I'll keep it for another podcast. So thank you for listening and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Investing Alpha, podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Adroit Financial Services Private Limited. Please connect on @AmitGupta0310 on Twitter for more market-related updates.